What and how? These are two concepts that there is so much content about when it comes to the topic of the environment. What and how? Be it from scientists and experts, be it talking heads and commentators, be it friends or online articles, we can encounter so much of the what and the how related to the environment. What names the area of concern? How describes the possible solutions? For example, the need to reduce carbon-based emissions is a what? Energy-efficient light bulbs and lighting, a how? Overflowing landfills, a consumer culture that produces unbelievable amounts of waste and increased consumption of resources, that's a what? Minimizing landfill waste by using real dishes when we gather, or making sure that we not only recycle items, but buy recycled products. These are things that are a part of our how. The loss of nutrients out of the life cycle due to urban living and waste management. A what? Composting biodegradable refuse is a how. One of the ways we respond. All of these are things our church actively does on a regular basis. Our congregation, which, by the way, happens to be Denver's first certified green church, makes use of every single how we can get our hands on. Smart thermostats, watering timers, alternative transportation, food gardens, the list goes on and on. There are countless how options for addressing all of the what's that are facing our planet right now. But as we gather to worship today, as we gather to worship our Creator, as we gather to worship the Creator, our conversation must go deeper than what and how. For real change to happen in our lives and in our world, we must be deeply rooted in the why. And while there are countless reasons why someone could care about the declining health and livability of our planet, I want to focus on one very specific, very faith-oriented answer to the question of why. Amidst all of the what's and all of the how's, I invite us today to see this as our why. About a year and a half ago, Pope Francis wrote a letter to the world. On the first page, he writes, "I wish to address every person living on this planet." You get to do stuff like that when you're the Pope. I mean, anybody can write a letter to the world, but people actually read it when you're the Pope. Holding true to the values of his namesake, Pope Francis has made the environment one of his top priorities. He even titled his letter using St. Francis' own words from a hymn. "Praise be to you, my Lord, through our sister Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us, who produces various fruit with colored flowers and herbs." The opening words of this, "Praise be to you, my Lord," in Latin are Laudato Si, the title of his encyclical. Now, I was aware that the Pope had written this document, but I had not looked closely at it until one of my gatherings with the spiritual leaders of Northwest Denver. We get together every month, and man, there are a ton of nuns in this group. So this was one of the things they were like, "You totally need to read this." And I was like, "Okay, let's do it." As we engaged in a study of the letter, I realized this beautifully written letter would serve as a wonderful guide for our annual reflection on the environment, what we call our season of creation. In a very succinct and clear presentation, the Pope invites every person living on this planet, that would be you, to recognize and accept what scientists have been telling us for a really long time. Human beings are impacting the Earth in ways that are not natural, in ways that are not reversible, in ways that have grave consequences. Now, I do smile a little at the great irony of the institution of the church putting the full weight of its credibility to affirm the work of scientists. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that the Christian church was locking up scientists for saying things like the Earth isn't the center of the universe. It's good to see religious institutions can learn from their mistakes. Pope Francis is not the first religious leader to do this by any means. He's not even the first Catholic leader to do this. In his work, he actually cites several of his predecessors who held that seat in Rome. The one quote that stood out the most to me were the words of his immediate predecessor, Pope Benedict. "The misuse of creation begins when we no longer recognize any higher instance than ourselves, when we see nothing else but ourselves." This insightful and possibly indicting quote is at the top of your bulletin. This observation highlights what I believe our why is as people of faith. Why should we take steps to reduce carbon emissions? Why minimize the production of plastics? Why transition to sustainably sourced product chains? Why protect access to and the quality of clean water? Allow me to let our scriptures in 1 Corinthians connect these dots. Paul writes, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we partake of the one bread." We are one body. And not just those who choose to take communion, not just those who might be from our own faith tradition or even our own denomination. We are one body with all that our Creator created. This is why. There is a higher instance than ourselves. To see God's love is to see beyond ourselves, and to that I say, open our eyes, Lord. Communion, you know, it's a very deeply personal act for so many people. You take, you eat, you receive God's love. And I do hope that when you receive communion, your heart is warmed by the realization that God loves you without question, without pause, and without end. But communion also is a deeply communal act. As much as it is personal, it is connectional. For we share in it together. We remember and we are made whole. The bread you receive, and most importantly, the love that it symbolizes, is not for you alone. It is for every living being on this planet. And that is why we must live differently. That is why we must quit denying all of the what's and avoiding all of the how's and care for our common home. Now, I know you guys. I know that many of you are quite green in your living. Sometimes the season of creation at this church feels like preaching to the choir. But even for those of you who adamantly accept the what's of our global condition, for those of you who are already doing all of the how's before they were cool, do not lose sight of the why. Amidst all of the reasons that can be offered, I find no reason more humbling, more inviting, or more universal than this. We have been made one by the one who made us all. As we live in and share this common home, we're invited to care for it, recognizing that not only are our futures intertwined by the confines of our livable space, but that our souls are intertwined by the grace and love of God, that we, though many throughout the earth, we are one body. That is why. Amen.